Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I always enjoy brunch. I had a new thing today that I've never had before. I had Mexican breakfast today. And the Mexican breakfast turned out to actually be my favorite. Favorite breakfast of all. I was pretty sure that someone forgot it was brunch and then just wrote Mexican breakfast on it. Pretty sure that's what happened, but I think it's a thing now. It's like a forever thing. So I appreciate that, Susie. You know what? There's a lot of things that have eggs in it. We could say cookies are breakfast because they have eggs in them too. That was delicious. I loved it. Like, it's a new name for breakfast. So if I accidentally belch while we're burping, please forgive me. Did that just go out on live stream?
Yeah.
I think it did. Yeah, everybody just go like this, face palm. Because that's what I'm doing on the inside right now, it's face palm. Can't tell jokes, but I sure can be funny sometimes. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read one verse. Galatians 5, I want you to look with me at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Then the verses go on to talk about meekness and temperance and those who have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts need to live and to walk in the Spirit of God. I wanted to just look at verse 22 because I'm just going to focus in on one thing this afternoon that is a fruit of the Spirit, something the Spirit of God produces in our life, and that is peace. Notice again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. As we begin here this afternoon, I want to start with a question, and I want you to engage your mind. All right, everybody pay attention, everybody think. Everybody be serious-minded and sober here. Do you reflect on your own life, all right? You hear? You're connecting? Those receptors working right now? Do you have peace in your life? Think. Reflect. Examine. Okay? Are you thinking? Do you have peace in your life? Do you experience, do you know calm in your soul? Now, personalities can be different. Some people can be a little more high strung than others. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real peace, real calm in your soul. Be honest and reflect and examine, because the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit of God is peace in life. We live in a day of worry, right? We live in a day of fear, do we not? I mean, fear on all kinds of levels about all kinds of things. Fear about health. I mean, COVID-19 has got people acting and responding and living in fear. Fear of money and jobs. I mean, some people have lost jobs and certainly lost money because of COVID-19. And I feel for people like that. It was unnecessary. Fear of what others think. Have you noticed that? The pressure that is put on people in our culture, and it's pressure of what, how are others going to react? How are others going to think of me? Should I wear a mask? What will people think if I do? Should I not wear a mask? What will people think if I don't? The pressure that gets put on people to conform to a thing, and the reason they end up doing it is because of fear of how they're going to be perceived or what other people think. If somebody wants to, that's certainly fine. But you understand what I'm getting at? Fear, worry. We live in a day of worry and fear. But you know what? Worry and fear causes stress. It causes torment in the soul. It causes anxiety. And really, ultimately, causes a lot of instability. When there's turmoil in the soul, things aren't going well. We're not, our mind and our mind is not experiencing peace of God. We're up, we're down, we're all over the place. Things are not okay. There's anxiety and turmoil, and it causes instability in the life. And you know what? That is not the will of God for God's people. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about finding the will of God. Having and living with fear, worry, anxiety, torment, instability is the opposite of being at peace. We don't ever find that the fruit of the Spirit is anxiety. The fruit of the Spirit is turmoil. We don't find that. We find that the Spirit of God is, the fruit of the Spirit of God is peace. And go to John chapter 14 with me. And note what Jesus says here. And we can extrapolate from this that this is the will of God for His people. In John 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Comforter," that's the Holy Spirit of God, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What is the will of God for His people? Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." When we are in a stressful state that causes torment, that might be causing anxiety in the life, that causes turmoil in my soul, that is not the will of God for my life if I'm living in turmoil. Peace is not the power of positive thinking, where it's something that I talk myself into. Peace is also not a feeling that I conjure up. A lot of times that's what people are looking for, is a feeling. And if I can have this thing, or if this is going right in my life, I feel this way and I feel peace. But peace is not a feeling that we conjure up. According to Jesus, His peace, which is connected with the Holy Spirit of God, is something that brings an untroubled heart. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Do you have peace in your life? A definition of peace is quietness, rest, freedom from disturbance or agitation. That disturbance or that agitation could be physically, it could be emotionally, it could be spiritually. A good working definition of peace is inner calm in the midst of outer storm. Think about that. Inner calm in the midst of outer storm. Two painters were once asked to paint a picture illustrating their own idea of what peace looks like. The idea of rest. The first painter chose for his scene a quiet, lonely lake nestled among the mountains, far away from the hustle and bustle of life. I like that idea. It sounds peaceful. But the second painter, using swift, broad strokes on his canvas, painted a thundering, raging waterfall. Beneath the falls grew a fragile birch tree, bending down over the foam in the water. On the branches nearly wet with the spray from the falls, sat a robin on its nest. The first painting was simply a picture of inactivity. The second, however, depicted what true peace really looks like. Outwardly, there can be a storm, but inwardly, there's calm in the soul. If you think about the life of Jesus, outwardly, Jesus Christ endured one of the most troubled lives ever lived. Storms and turmoil and storms. Wave after wave broke over him until his own bruised and beaten body was ultimately laid in the tomb. And yet, the inner life of Jesus Christ was as smooth as glass. Great calm was always there. You know, if you ever picture what Jesus looked like, I do sometimes. What did he look like? But one thing that we can get a clear picture of when we consider the life of Jesus Christ, that the image that we get of him in our mind is nothing but calm. I mean, the raging storms and sea that had the disciples fearful for their lives. And they say, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And his response is one of calm and one of peace. And ultimately he said, "Peace, be still." Glass on the sea. Those that tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ on a number of occasions, they would take hold of him. And even the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees that we've been talking about, they come to him to try to catch him in his words. There's always turmoil surrounding his life because people hated him, but Jesus was always calm in the soul. And never do we get an image in our mind of anything other than calm. It seems to me like when I think about him, he seems like he would be the most soothing, comforting man to be around. Even in spite of the outward, there was an inner life to Christ that was one of peace. One man said, "Peace and rest is not some holy feeling that comes upon us in church. It's a state of calm rising from a heart deeply and firmly established in God. It's not a feeling that comes over us, but it's calm in the soul that comes about because my heart is firmly established in God. When things aren't going how you want them to go in your life, when there's something you really want, or there's anxiety and there's this problem and that problem and all the mounting problems, and it causes this angst on the inside and this turmoil on the inside, causes us to react in the wrong ways, to think about the wrong things, we're not experiencing peace from the Lord. But is that the Lord's fault? It's never the Lord's fault, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit of God. An inner life of quiet, an inner life of calm, rest, in spite of what is raging outwardly, is demonstrated of true Christian character and true peace. And the Bible has a lot to say regarding peace. We can't possibly exhaustively cover it. Actually, the word peace is mentioned 429 times in the Bible. But let me just give you a small sample of the command of peace in our life. The Bible tells us that we are to seek after it. Look in Psalm 34 with me. Just introductory thoughts here, some scriptures regarding peace. The Bible tells us we are to seek after it. In Psalm 34, in verse 14, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." 1 Peter 3 and verse 11 says, "Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it." something we ought to be striving for. We are commanded to seek after it. We're commanded to follow after peace. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." What are the things we're to be seeking after, to be following after in our life, to pursue after? Peace is one of them. We're to live in peace according to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 13, turn there please, in verse 11. We'll just look at a few passages here. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." We find it is God's will for His people to seek peace, to follow peace, to live in peace. And the Bible tells us, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. In Romans 12 and verse 18, turn there, Romans 12. In verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, concerning the will of God, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:13, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." It's talking about verse 12, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Peace is the result when we live according to the will of God. And we could look at several more, but just one more. Hebrews 12 in verse 14, the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And so here's just a small sample of the command to live in peace and the part that peace plays in the life of a child of God, because peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so here's a question: who is qualified and who is authorized to speak of and to offer this peace that is the will of God? Well, no one is except the one who is called the Prince of Peace and the God of Peace, whose ministers are the messengers of peace, whose word is the gospel of peace, whose way is the path of peace. All peace originates and has its beginning with God Himself. Jesus said in John 14, "My peace I leave with you." Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." There's a lot that's implied in that one statement, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The implication is, when there is confusion in our life, at some point and to some degree, God is not the one who's the author of that. If I'm experiencing confusion in my life, God is not the one who's behind that. We certainly can't blame God for that, because He's not the author of confusion. In fact, He's the author of peace. Satan is the one who would like for you to have frustration in your life. Are you experiencing frustration? Satan's the one who wants you to have frustration in your life. Worry, fear, depression, anxiety, all of those things should not be the description of the life of a child of God. If frustration, depression, anxiety is a description of your life, that's confusion, and God is not the author of that. He's the author of peace. Amen? So, I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that is peace, this afternoon. I want to break down this issue of peace in Scripture just to bring out a couple of principles that I'm prayerful will be helpful today to all of us, but especially to those who might have some frustration in their life or who may not be experiencing peace but turmoil at any given time. Because the world is full of stuff that can cause turmoil, amen? But God wants us to experience peace. We can break it down in Scripture, and it can be divided into basically two statements. First of all, peace with God, and then the peace of God. Consider, first of all, peace with God. If you turn to Romans chapter 5 with me, Romans 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the breakdown of peace in Scripture is divided here into two parts. That's peace with God and the peace of God. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God has to come first before we have the peace of God. Peace with God can only come about through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our natural state, our unsaved state, we are enemies of God. There can't possibly be peace because we're condemned before God because of our sin. And the Bible tells us that the wrath of God abides on us. But this verse here tells us that we, when we're justified, being justified, we have peace with God. That little verb there, we have, is in the present indicative active voice. What in the world does that mean? It means in the present indicative active, it means that I have it today, I'll have it tomorrow, I will have it the next day after that, I will always have it. Peace with God. If I'm born again, I have peace with God. The present tense means continuous in duration of action. The indicative voice means that it's a fact. You can take it to the bank. The active voice means that the subject is being acted on. We have peace with God that originates from God. Amen. That's exactly right. Because I don't know about you, but that causes me to rejoice and brings relief to my soul, because no matter what happens, I know that my soul is at peace with God. All kinds of stuff could happen in this world, but none of that is anywhere close to comparing with the danger that our soul is in and what our soul will experience if we experience the judgment of God. I want to have peace with God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. Amen? There's a lot of religion, even Christian, who try to tell you that you can lose your salvation. What kind of peace does that bring to the soul? If at some point you could lose your salvation. But the Word of God says that when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I eternally have peace with God. And here's the deal. Peace is when there is no more war with God. God is my Father now, not my enemy. And rather, I'm not His enemy. And there's no more conflict between my soul and my God. And once we're saved, we're no longer under the bondage of guilt and sin that brings wrath from God. Now we're the sons of God. And so first of all, true peace comes from making peace with God by accepting or receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You can't have the peace of God without that first. But secondly, there's the peace of God. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And here's where I really want to spend the rest of our time this afternoon, and I won't keep you long here. But I want to talk about the peace of God, because after salvation, we can have the peace of God that is a characteristic of my life, that is a result of walking in the Spirit, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be reckless in how you live. It just means don't be full of care in your life. Don't be full of worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What was the definition of peace? Quietness, rest, freedom from disturbance and agitation. And we find here that the peace of God, the quietness, the rest, the calm in my soul, the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep, that means to secure, it means to guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And so the question that we can ask here is, where is the peace located? The peace of God that we can experience, where is it located according to this verse? Somebody tell me. Where? In the mind? There's another one. In the heart, right? It says in the Bible says in verse 7, it'll keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is located in the heart and in the mind. It's not peace from external difficulties or trials, like I'm going to have this life of ease where there's no problems, but rather it's rest and it's calm in my heart and in my mind in spite of the trouble and the trial that happens in life. The Bible tells us that man is full of trouble, right? Of a few days and full of trouble. And man is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. We were standing around the campfire when it was like 34 degrees the other night. Everyone's huddled around the fire. And the sparks are going up. And everyone's dodging, you know, the sparks that fly off the campfire. And we made comment of this, that man is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's like a rhetorical question. Do you have trouble in your life? Do sparks fly upward? Yeah. And the Bible says that in spite of that, not peace from external difficulty or trial, but rest and calm in spite of that. Consider Job. You know the trouble that he faced in his life. Man, if there was ever a guy who could be depressed, if there was ever a guy who, you know, would maybe we could see how it would be justified for him to want to throw in the towel, to blame God because things aren't good in his life, we might think it would be him. And yet the Bible says in Job 23 and verse 10 that even in all of his trouble, he said that when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows the way that I take. He knows what's going on in my life. And in spite of all of that, God has a purpose in it. We could give example after example, but we find that the peace of God is located in the heart and in the mind, and God's peace keeps our heart and our mind. But the question is, how is it obtained? How do I get that peace that keeps my heart and my mind? I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 5 again. We were there a moment ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And his prayer was that the whole spirit and the soul and the body be preserved unto the coming of the Lord. And again, the question, how do I obtain this peace of God? Well, according to verse 23, we can see that yielding to the work of sanctification in my life is something that is going to produce peace in my life. See the context of sanctification here. If you go back to verse 12, he says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." In other words, what we find here is that the context of this God of peace and sanctification in your life. Listen, here's a whole summary right here of Christian duty. Surrendering and yielding to the Spirit of God and the sanctification process in our life. All of these things, this Christian duty that would result from yielding to the Spirit of God and sanctification produces peace in my life. There's always conflict when we resist the Lord. Amen? When we won't give up certain things that we desire so much. When we won't die to self and what my flesh desires. And I go about convincing myself that this thing will make me feel fulfilled and happy. And in reality, we may end up getting what we wanted so badly, only on the other end to experience the turmoil that my flesh produces. Amen? This thing, I want it. It makes me feel happy. I think it's going to bring peace. I want it so badly. I'm going after it, not yielding to the Spirit of God. And I get what I want, and on the other side of it, I realize it actually doesn't make me as happy as I thought it would. In fact, it brings turmoil into my life. And when we don't yield to the Spirit of God and His work of sanctification, not yielding grieves the Holy Spirit, and it voids us of peace. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Because here's another aspect of obtaining the peace of God. Not only is there a yielding to the work of sanctification, but according to Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 20, we find that yielding to the goodwill of God is something that produces or will allow us to obtain God's peace. Hebrews 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Yielding to the goodwill of God in our life ultimately will produce peace. Even when yielding to the will of God is not the thing that I imagined for myself. You following this? When I have an imagination of what I think is going to make me happy or what I want for myself, when it's opposed to what the will of God for my life is, there's only one of those two things that's going to yield peace in my life. And that's yielding to the will of God. even when it's not the thing that I imagine for myself. You know what? God always knows what the perfect fit for me is, not me. We don't know that. I think of, well, the illustration Pastor Humphrey gave this morning of pastors, preachers who retire from the ministry, and they retire and they go off to their, you know, retired living encampment, wherever that is in Florida. It's an actual place. No, kidding. They're all over Florida. And they're never in their home church again. Versus men like Brother Hammett, who in his advanced years, after retiring from the ministry, knows that God's calling him to be a missionary in a foreign land. And he's over there serving the Lord day after day, doing Bible studies and giving of himself in missions in a brand new ministry, even at his advanced state in life. And you know what? We could easily imagine that, no, that's I could never do that, or I don't want to do that because I can't do that. And the reality is you can't. You couldn't. Because verse 21 says to make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Who's the one doing the working? The God of peace. But in yielding to the will of God, whatever that might be, all of a sudden we find amazing peace. Whereas when we go with what we think, and we lean on our own understanding of what might fulfill us, we end up messing it up. How do we obtain the peace of God? By yielding to the work of sanctification in our life. Not being stubborn. Yielding to the goodwill of God, even when it's not what I imagine for myself. Knowing that God knows best. I can be at peace where I'm at in my life because I'm in the center of God's will. But then thirdly, if you turn to Isaiah 26, Isaiah chapter 26, in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The third and final way that we can obtain God's peace is by keeping our eyes on the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The word perfect, it means complete. The word stayed here, it means to prop up. It means to support. It means a fixed position. It carries the meaning or the idea of a pier that is a foundation for the rest of the structure. You understand that? That foundation, that pier, that's the anchor, the foundation for the rest of the structure. Thou wilt keep him in complete peace, whose mind is supported, it's fixed on the pier, the foundation, whose mind is stayed on thee. When God is the support and our mind is fixed on him, peace and calm is the result. What is the opposite? Well, when we're experiencing that turmoil, that lack of peace, our mind is not fixed on the Lord. It's not stayed on the Lord. But when we get our eyes and our mind back on the Lord, guess what comes? The peace of God. Like, you could look around at all the problems, and we could start to get fearful and worrisome and fretful and angry. All the above. There's a lot of things to be angry about. But when we get angry, it's because our mind is fixed on all the things, right? And not on the Lord. The peace of God really comes to us when we're obedient to His Word, we're trusting in His promises, and our mind is fixed on Him. It's fear or worry or stress or turmoil that grips the heart when we are ignoring or when we are forgetting what God has already said to us. But when we walk in the Spirit and our mind is fixed on the Lord, we have His peace. It's a fruit, something the Spirit of God produces in our life. It's been said, peace is the deliberate adjustment of my life to the goodwill of God. God always provides the peace and produces the peace. When I am willing to make the deliberate adjustment of my life and surrender and yield my life to the goodwill of God, no matter what's happening in the moment. Amen? It's calm in spite of the storm. God wants His people to live in peace. If you're not experiencing the peace of God in your life, friend, you're not in the will of God. Not in that area. Not in that area. And so I'll finish with the question. Do you have peace in your life? Do you experience and know calm in spite of the storm that only comes from God? If you're one who is full of anxiety, full of fear, full of stress, full of turmoil, my guess is your mind and your eyes are not on the Lord. They're on circumstances, because the peace of God is located in the heart and in the mind. And God said that He would keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Do you have peace? If you don't, figure out why. What are you thinking on? What are you filling your mind with? Confess it to the Lord. Get your eyes fixed on the Lord again and walk in the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word. Encourage and challenge us today. Maybe this is just the thing that some need, for they are living, walking day to day in turmoil. There's not peace in their soul. It could be because they don't have peace with God. They've never been truly saved. Lord, would You work in them to draw them to Yourself? It also could be that they don't have the peace of God, and it's because they're not walking in the Spirit. They're not fixed. Their mind is not fixed and stayed on You. They're not yielding to the work of sanctification in their life. They're not yielding to the goodwill of God in their life. Their mind is only on what they think might fulfill them and bring them happiness. And Lord, I pray that You would cause us to reflect today and think and be honest with ourselves and with You, and get on the path again that leads to experiencing the joy and the peace of the Lord. We love You today. Thank You for the time together as a family. Lord, thank You for Your word that gives us instruction in righteousness. Lord, that helps us to be mature, truly furnished unto all good works. In Jesus' name, amen.